Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic.
It's my pleasure to welcome David Brewer to the podcast. Welcome, David.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So David, you are Atlantic Regional Manager for SEPCO Sealing Equipment. Although super brief, what can you tell us about yourself, SEPCO, and so on and so forth?
So like you mentioned, I'm the Atlantic Coast Atlantic Regional Manager for SEPCO, basically covering down from, you know, Maryland down to Fernandina Beach, Florida. But I spend most of my time in paper mills, chemical plants, food processing, wastewater treatment plants, things of that nature. And the main thing that I do is work with distributors and solving problems where it comes to process equipment.
All right. Excellent. Now, although, you know, solving these sealing problems, working to solve some of these process problems, what are some of the common things you see come about that we have to address?
So for what we do mostly, it, you know, within regards to process equipment, you have a lot of, first of all, there can be variations of different types of process equipment, from pumps to mixers to agitators, blenders, things of that nature. I think today, you know, we're specifically addressing pumps, but and water usage. But most of the time, what we see is anything from misalignment to poorly installed products and also misapplications, things where the end user or the distributor or even ourselves have misidentified what really needs to be in that process.
All right. Excellent. Now, you mentioned, you know, conserving water, and that is a big thing I see in a lot of organizations, whether it's food, whether it's pulp and paper, lumber, and so on and so forth. Water conservation is a big deal. Why are organizations so concerned with this right now?
Mostly it kind of comes from the top down. You know, we're looking at big corporations that we deal with in the paper industry and also big phosphate mining companies and things of that nature, where water conservation is, they just want to be good stewards of the environment, you know, and have a good corporate reputation for being good stewards of the environment. But that trickles down to the local manufacturing facilities. And there's a lot of money that is actually associated with water conservation. So everything from saving money to just being good stewards of the environment.
All right. Excellent. Now, where is this water loss occurring? Is it, you know, we just got some leaky pipes and leaky valves, we got sealing problems. Where is all this water loss coming from?
So where we're concerned mostly, it comes through what we call the stuffing box of a piece of equipment. And that stuffing box could either be on a mixer or an agitator, or it could be on a centrifugal pump or some big, huge slurry pump. But that water loss is either, it comes in two forms. It comes in forms of it leaking out into the environment, like on the ground or into a sump or something like that. But it also comes from dilution, from product dilution, where we see where they have to re-evaporate water off of a process to reclaim that product. So we see it in both, but it really revolves around the stuffing box of the piece of equipment and the leakage rates associated with that.
All right. Now, when you refer to the stuffing box, you know, that's where the source of the water leaks are. How is it, or water loss anyways, how are we losing water within that stuffing box?
Okay. So yeah, what we have is we have a rotating element that goes through, you know, let's take a mixer, for example, or an agitator, for example. You have a rotating element. And on the end of a rotating element, you've got a big blade that's agitating product. That shaft that's turning that blade to agitate that has to go through a wall, and we are sealing that area with our products. And that could either come in the form of a mechanical seal, a set of packing, an air seal, whatever it might be. Now, When we do that, because of the rotation of the shaft, we create friction. And in order to cool that friction creates heat. In order for us to cool that friction, we have to add a source. So either it could be water or it could be some sort of barrier fluid of some kind. But we have to cool that friction. And in order to cool that friction, either water or barrier fluid has to be introduced. A lot of times, plants, whether they be pulp and paper plants or phosphate mines or whatever, they will, you know, that water usage in order to cool that shaft, it just either runs out into the environment, onto the ground, or it dilutes the process immensely.
All right. So that stuffing box area that we're talking about, we're using water to cool the ceiling surface, and it's either leaking into the product or it's leaking out onto the ground as a result of us trying to cool that ceiling surface.
Correct. Absolutely. That's the best way to put it. Yes. All
right. Now we're doing that. Is that because we don't have the right seals in there? That's typically how we've always kind of sealed these surfaces. Why are we doing it that way? Not using boundary fluid or some other solution and just using cooling water?
Well, that's a good question. What happens is, yes. So to answer your question, you do get a lot of that, you know, well, we've done it that way for, you know, how many ever years. And it just, you know, from one generation to the next, maintenance practices continue to be passed down. And what SEPCO looks at, or, you know, anybody for that matter, what we want to do is we want to try to eliminate as much water as possible, or if we can eliminate it all, we can eliminate it all. And the way we do that is we're either taking the water source away from that process by using just a standard barrier fluid, meaning like a big seal pot where you're in a continuous loop always, or we are through certain practices, through best practices when we are packing equipment with mechanical packing, we use the proper tools to do it that can eliminate, or not necessarily eliminate, but greatly, greatly reduce water consumption. And we do it through that, through good maintenance practices and through seal selection and barrier fluid selection.
All right. So we put barrier fluids in place. We're not using water anymore. We install the right seals with the right tools into a precision level. We can reduce the amount of water we're consuming to cool those. So it sounds like there's a lot of different ways to address this issue of water use for sealing.
Absolutely. So what we do, you know, and that's my job. Many people like me and from our company do the same thing, where we go to plants and we look at application by application. And one of the things that we've done is we have gone in and done complete plant surveys where we take a team in, we look at the equipment, we look at the process, we look at how much water they're consuming, and we survey all this, and we go application by application. How can we better serve that application, and how can we, you know, reduce the water consumption within that application?
All right, excellent. Now, I'm guessing based on, you know, the survey, all the work you guys are doing, it's not a little bit of water, it's a lot of water that we're saving.
It's a lot of water. And I'm talking millions of gallons of water a year per piece of equipment. You don't realize, like, if you were, and people have a hard time wrapping their mind around it, if you are consuming, and this has been proven at different plants that we've been in, if you're consuming just 4 gallons a minute, per minute, per application, and you can imagine the bigger the shaft that's going through that wall that we were talking about earlier, the greater amount of water that's needed to cool that surface. And so we have applications where we have seen one piece of equipment consume over 2 million gallons of water a year, and leaking to the ground, between leaking to the ground, product dilution, and leaking to a sump. So just one piece of equipment could be responsible for over 2 million gallons of wasted water.
That's a tremendous amount, especially given a lot of the concerns we have out on the West Coast, where there's droughts, where there's, you know, they're drilling wells, they got to put the wells deeper and deeper. That's a huge knock-on effect if we are able to reduce that water consumption.
It's powerful to see those numbers. When I first got involved in this years ago, and we started measuring, and we take great care at measuring water consumption. And, you know, we can do it through a scientific method with a flow meter. We can find out exactly how much water that each piece of equipment is consuming. And just gland water alone, it's a tremendous number per piece of equipment. And you got to think about some of these plants have over 2,000 pieces of rotating equipment in one facility. So if you add all that up, it's a big number.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys go in, you do the survey, then what happens? Are we going to convert everything to a barrier fluid, or is it some we do barrier fluid, some we repack differently or select different seals? How do we attack all this?
Great question. For the most part, we do all the above, just like you said. We look at each piece of equipment. It can be, most would probably go on a barrier tank, especially ANSI process pumps you can put on a barrier tank with a barrier fluid. However, there are applications where packing makes the most sense. It's the most cost effective. And if you properly pack a piece of equipment the right way, you can greatly reduce water consumption by throttling that water down. And we could go in some cases from hundreds of thousands of gallons per day down to, you know, reduce that greatly down to, you know, less than tens of thousands of gallons a day. I mean, it just depends on from equipment to equipment, but we can greatly reduce that by great maintenance practices. And what we do is we choose the best yarns available. And that's what packing is made out of. It's basically a textile, but we'll use, you know, carbon yarns that can handle high shaft speeds and transfer heat very well. And then we pack the equipment by using seated tools that properly seat each ring so that you don't have, you know, once those rings are seated properly, you affect a mechanical load on that packing that will not allow the water to be wasted. And so we do that with as well as mechanical seals and barrier fluid.
All right. Now, just in case people aren't aware, can you explain barrier fluid, how that kind of works?
Absolutely. So in a mechanical seal, using a mechanical seal, typically barrier fluid is used when you're using a double mechanical seal. And what that is basically you have two seal sets of seal faces. You have what they call an inboard seal face, set of seal faces, and an outboard set of seal faces. In the middle of that, you have a closed loop system, which is a barrier fluid. And a barrier fluid can consist of some type of glycol, a mineral oil, different synthetic type of lubricant that's put in it. But it's typically in a 3 to 5 gallon tank. And that is through convection is circulated through that seal to cool those two mechanical seal sets of mechanical seal faces. Think of, for any liquor enthusiasts or bourbon enthusiasts, it works almost like a still in the sense that it's the barrier fluid is heat transferred. It's thermoconducted throughout the seal back in, and then just it's on a closed loop system.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
So we're not using water. It's closed loop, so we don't have to worry about things leaking, right, going anywhere. And it provides, I'm guessing, a much better cooling capacity than just water.
So it does, in the sense that you're right. What happens is, depending on what barrier fluid we recommend, some of these barrier fluids can transfer heat at an enormous rate. So if you look at one of these synthetic oils that we use sometimes, it's excellent at transferring heat and dissipating heat. So we can go to much higher temperatures. We're allowed to, they have better lubricating properties like water, especially once water gets to a certain temperature, the lubricating properties on water are terrible. It flashes at a certain point, you know, water boils and it evaporates. Well, when it evaporates, it creates just nothing but air pockets, and we create more heat. So using synthetics, we can go to much higher temperatures and transfer heat much better.
All right. Excellent. Now, do you have any case studies that you can share, or any results from case customer activities that you can share with us for, you know, impact that this type of thing has on organizations?
Absolutely. I can, you know, so speaking, one of the ones that I was most involved in, when I was talking earlier about saving 2 million gallons of water per year per piece of equipment, that was one that we had a lot of, you know, hands-on experience with. And it was a local, you know, it was a paper facility, pulp and paper facility in the Southeast. And they had a pump. I can give you, you know, specifically one piece of equipment that they had a pump where they were having so many problems with, and they was packed with a Teflon type packing with a packing that does not transfer heat well at all. It's actually an insulator in a sense. And so they were using, per that piece of equipment, they were using about almost three, actually this piece of equipment was almost using close to 3 million gallons a year. We put in another set of packing where we can transfer, where it could transfer heat a lot better, a carbon yarn packing. We used the CETA tools. We got them down to, we saved them over 2 million gallons for that, in that one application. We saved them about 2,800,000 gallons of water is what we saved them on that one piece of equipment per year. And then I could point to another one where at a phosphate facility where they are trying to take phos acid and they're trying to evaporate the water off the acid so they can reuse the acid. The acid goes in everything from our toothpaste to additives in certain foods and things of that nature. Well, they were trying to evaporate the water off of this, and that there's a huge energy cost associated with evaporation. And so what we did was we gave them or recommended them a what we call a quench and drain type gland instead of actually a closed loop system. We used a quench and drain where they are just quenching it, and it's just a very small trickle of water goes over the mechanical sealant. It basically just washes it and cleans it. And it's been so effective, and their water consumption has drastically been reduced. And again, we're looking at pieces of equipment that were using over 1 million gallons of water a year. And then they were not only having to evaporate that off, they were having to clean the process up. We were able to save them over 1 million gallons a year per piece of equipment.
All right. So that's a significant amount of water.
It is. When you add it up over time, I mean, and you look at places that have just, you know, thousands of pieces of rotating equipment, it just, the calculator just keeps rolling.
Yep. Absolutely. Now I got to ask, is it super expensive to convert some of these things? And is that why organizations aren't all adopting this, or is it lack of knowledge, lack of know-how, awareness?
Again, I think it's all of the above. It is not super expensive. If you look at most of these places, and it's our job as employees of SEPCO or anybody else to make people aware of what we can do to save them money over time. We actually do things where we can show cost savings, you know, and if you calculate this, the cost of these programs are not expensive if you look at them from an investment perspective and how long you get, what is your return on investment over time? But it goes mostly to education, to looking at, you know, because you had mentioned it earlier on in the podcast where, you know, this is the way we've always been doing it. And it's just an accepted practice. But if you look at, you know, a program, implementation of a program, you know, like what we're talking about, over time, you're actually saving money versus spending money. And like you said earlier, you become good stewards of the environment from that perspective.
All right. Excellent. So it's not a huge cost problem to get in and solve these problems. It's more of an education and awareness piece. And
I would say so. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Excellent. Because with the increased focus on, you know, the triple bottom line environmental stewardship, all those different things. This has become more and more important as organizations continue to try and reduce their environmental footprint.
Right. And as we look into this more and more, there will be more budgets probably, you know, I would imagine more budgets put together that they would want to fight problems like this, you know, especially where water conservation, where they can actually show good savings. To give you one more example, we had a company in Eastern Virginia that was pulling off an aquifer and in the Western Virginia, and they were using a bunch of water from an aquifer way, way far away. And they had to show the company that was, you know, that they had to show the state of Virginia that they would be good stewards of the environment if they were to continue to pull off this aquifer. And we helped them do that. Our company helped them do that. We actually went in, did another survey, showed them what we could save them just in gland water use alone. And that helped them renew their lease with the state of Virginia. And so that was a big win for us. And that was years ago, before the technology even now has gotten so much better than even then. So we can do that. We can do that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So David, you mentioned newer technology. What other newer technology is out there?
Yeah. So right now, one of the biggest things, when we're, you know, earlier I was talking about mixers, agitators, big pieces of equipment. We have developed an air seal that actually uses no water at all, zero water. And it's basically, without getting too technical, it's basically a device that a seal that's used just using air. And the whole premise of the technology is low pressure can't cross high pressure. And we basically create a pillow of air where atmosphere meets where atmosphere meets the process, and we seal it with a knife of air, and it's a wonderful piece of equipment.
All right, and that's, I'm guessing, dramatically going to reduce that water usage then as well, because we're not using any water.
That's right, we're not using any water, and it allows, actually the other thing it allows the equipment to do is it allows the shaft to move a lot more than traditional sealing devices like mechanical packing. This air seal can allow a lot of movement from the shaft perspective.
All right, excellent. Now, we've talked a lot about how do we conserve water, all these different things. What's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today?
Just that there are options. You know, the thing that we do most is when we visit these facilities and we see something that we know we can fix, you know, and that whether that's myself or somebody like me, or even our distributors, we know we can fix and we know we can greatly reduce the use of water out there. There are so many different options out there. They're not limited. And that's the biggest takeaway, is I just want, you know, the listeners to understand that we're not limited on what we can do in terms of fluid sealing or any type of sealing.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have all these, we're not limited by what we can do to seal and reduce water, right?
That's right.
All right, perfect. Now, where can people find out more about all these options for improving sealing, reducing water consumption, all these great things?
Well, you can, our website, www.sepco.com, SEPCO.com, is the best place to go. We have a great, case history there on our website, but outside of our website, you can also look us up on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter as well, where we have a lot of case histories, a lot of good things going on, where we're talking about applications specifically in a lot of these social media profiles.
All right. Excellent. Now, it's still relatively early in the conference process with everything after COVID. Are you guys expected to make any appearances coming up?
Yes, we've just recently been back from the bulk powder show, and actually here soon we're going to be at WEFTEC. I think we might even be at the pump symposium later this year, if I'm not mistaken. So we are out and about again, and we're doing it safely though. We're doing it doing it very safely.
Yep, all those wonderful things that we have to do now.
That's right. Plenty of sanitizer and masks.
Yep. Now, David, one of my favorite questions I always like asking all the guests is, what are your go-to resources, whether it's for pump and sealing applications, whether it's for equipment installation, just in general about what we've talked about today?
HP Rooted in Reliability podcast is a great resource, as well as Plant Services. We have some great engineers at SEPCO that I lean on heavily for advice and mentorship. So we those things as well. I'm always on LinkedIn as well, looking at what everybody's doing.
All right, excellent. Well, I appreciate those. You know, Plant Services, do a lot of work with them as well. We're actually got a couple podcasts with them and a few more that are planned coming up. So another great resource there as well. Well, David, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about how do we conserve water with sealing and sealing options to reduce water consumption. Definitely learned a lot. Realized I know absolutely nothing about this. So it is a good way to learn listening to experts like you. So I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the time. I really appreciate it as well. Thank you so much.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.